You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Today we are concluding our greater series. I hope this series has inspired you. I have so enjoyed teaching through this series. And let me begin by asking you a question today. Have you ever started out with a big goal? You had a big goal in mind, but you settled for something less. Have you ever had that experience before? Maybe you were getting into a home improvement project, like you wanted to rip out your whole kitchen or your whole bathroom, and you found out how much it was going to cost and how many hours it was going to take, and you said, "Now let's just settle for a paint job. A fresh coat of paint would go a long way." Have you been there before? Maybe you had a big book you've really been wanting to read. You know, you're just feeling really academic and, you know, I'm going to start reading, and there's a biography sitting on your shelf that you've been wanting to read, and you get a few pages into that book and you decided, "Oh, I'll just settle. I'll just go ahead and watch the movie." You done that before? Maybe at the beginning of the year, you know, the New Year's resolution, you decided you were going to lose some weight. "I'm going to drop 20 pounds. And so you started a new diet, a new exercise routine, and you got a few weeks into it and you realized how much time and how much work it was going to take. And you decided to settle and thought, "Well, maybe I'll just eat a lot less chicken wings this year." Yeah, that's close enough. I think we've probably all been there before. When I was in Bible college in Texas, there was one fall break or spring break. I don't remember which one it was, but I didn't have any plans because I was scheduled to work. I actually was waiting tables at the time, and I didn't really have any plans because I was working. But at the last minute, my boss called me, my manager called and said, "Hey, things have really slowed down at the restaurant this week. We're cutting the wait staff. We're not going to need you." So all of a sudden, here I was on break, and I had no plans, nothing, you know, I had nothing to do. And so I grabbed two of my friends, Landon and Brent, and I said, "Let's go on a road trip, good old college road trip. Come on, let's drive to the Grand Canyon." So we got all fired up. We're like, "Yeah, let's just, yeah." I mean, really, it was just a bunch of college guys. We just threw all of our stuff in the car. We didn't even think it out. We didn't have a plan. We just, college road trip, we jumped in the car, and we were going to head out to the Grand Canyon. And we got a few hours, you know, on the road, and Texas is a pretty big state, by the way. And we got to San Antonio, and we're like, "You know, I'm kind of tired. San Antonio sounds pretty good." And so we settled for San Antonio. Now, I love San Antonio. I've been there several times, one of my favorite cities in the state of Texas, but I've never seen the Grand Canyon to this day because I settled. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we start out with these big ideas in mind, but we settle for something less. Now, a few weeks ago when we started this series, we talked about how all of us, when we were children, we had big dreams. We had aspirations for our lives. If you ask a kid what they want to be when they grow up, they're going to tell you something big. And I think, you know, we all still have those aspirations deep down on the inside of us. It's just that life gets in the way, and bills and busyness and taking care of families and all the things that we have to do, they tend to get in the way. But every now and then we have these reminders that greatness is inside of us, that we long for something greater, that we have these aspirations, these longings, these desires inside of us. Now, the marketing world is very smart. The marketing world targets these longings that are inside of us, this sense of dissatisfaction and this longing for deeper meaning and purpose, and the marketing world exploits it. The marketing world says, "Okay, are you feeling dissatisfied? Are you feeling like you've settled for less? Then you need to go on this vacation. You need to purchase this package. If you will go on this cruise, if you'll go on Disney World and just make it to the Magic Kingdom, you will feel fulfilled." No, you won't. Your kids are still going to fight in the Magic Kingdom, okay? I mean, you might need to go on a vacation, but it's not going to fulfill you. The marketing world says, "Are you feeling less than satisfied? You need to buy this car, because if you buy this car, you are going to feel adventurous. You're going to be driving and going all these curvy, windy roads and having this amazing adventure." No, you're not. You are not going on an off-road safari in your new Mercedes. No, you're not. You're going to be stuck on the 95 in traffic like everybody else. That's what's going to happen in your new car. You're not going on an adventure. The marketing world says, "Is your life boring? Does your life seem unfulfilled? Do you feel like you've settled for less? Then you just need to buy this brand of beer. Because when you buy this beer, all of a sudden you're going to have friends just show up. And like, you're going to have these amazing parties. And swimsuit models are going to randomly show up at your barbecue. That will happen if you buy this beer." No, it will not. Swimsuits are not coming to your barbecue, okay? Swimsuit models. No. You know who's coming to your barbecue? Your crazy uncle. That's who's coming to your barbecue. Swimsuit models are not coming to your barbecue. The marketing world tells us you feel less than fulfilled. You feel like you've settled for less. You feel like you don't have fulfillment in your life. You need to try this amazing supplement so you can have the body of your dreams. That's it. Just take this miracle supplement and you're going to have the body that you've always wanted and you're going to be fulfilled. No, you are not, because you're still going to eat way too many carbs and you know you're not going to go to the gym enough. You're not. Now, we laugh at this stuff. Come on, we can laugh in church. We laugh at this stuff, but here's the truth. We fall for this marketing stuff all the time, don't we? We do it all the time. And one thing is clear. We live in a culture where people are longing for purpose. People are longing for purpose, and the world is offering us purpose. Purpose is for sale. And yet, people seem more unfulfilled and depressed than ever before. And here's why. God designed you for something greater than just living for yourself and your own personal fulfillment. That's the truth. That's why so many people are unfulfilled. They're looking for fulfillment in all of these different things. And I'm not saying that all those things are even bad, but if you're looking for those things for fulfillment, you're going to come up quite dissatisfied. Rick Warren said this in his bestseller, The Purpose-Driven Life. He said, you are made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life will never make sense. Your life begins to make more sense when you tap into the greater purpose that God has designed you for. And that's what this series has been about for the past few weeks. We've been talking about this call to live our lives for something greater than just ourselves. Because the call of Jesus is the call to a greater life. It's the call to live a life that outlasts you, that lives beyond you. A life that creates a ripple effect so that you impact other people. It's the call to live a life of meaning and significance and purpose. And so today, that's exactly what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about having greater purpose. Because if we're going to have greater lives, if we're going to be greater, we need a greater purpose to live for than just ourselves. Some of you need to take out your phone and just snap a picture of that. Put that in your notes today. If we're going to be greater, we need a greater purpose to live for than just ourselves. Because a lot of people have the sense that they want to be greater. A lot of people have this longing inside of them, like, I want to do something more with my life. But they haven't found greater purpose. So let me challenge you with the words that we have heard on the bumper video before this series each Sunday. Here's what the video says. Most of us aren't in danger of ruining our lives. We're in danger of wasting them. Are you satisfied with the kind of life that you've settled for? That's a question I think every one of us needs to ask this morning. Have an honest moment with yourself. Are you satisfied with the life that you've settled for? How many of you sense that you are meant for more and you're tired of settling for less? Anybody in here? Anybody have this sense that you're meant for more, that there's something greater on the inside of you, that your life is that God has some bigger things in store for you? I believe that. That's what this series has been about every week. We're just going after it as a church and saying, God, we want greater things for our lives. We want to exchange just living for self-fulfillment for your purposes for us. Because I'm telling you this morning, church, God doesn't want you to settle for less when he has greater things in store for you. He's got a lot of work for us to do in this world, and he's calling you and me to be a part of it. He's calling us to give our lives away. The call of Jesus, this call to greatness, is the call to give our lives away to a world, a broken world that he loves. And you'll find meaning and purpose and fulfillment if you'll answer that call, if you'll make your life about that. Now, let me just give you a few passages that illustrate this, okay? First one is the most famous scripture in all of the Bible. Everybody here has heard it before. John 3:16. This scripture hangs on banners in NFL stadiums during football games. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So God was motivated by his love for what? For God so loved the world. God loved the world that he gave his son. He gave us Jesus Christ that we might have eternal life. Look at 1 John 4:9. The apostle says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. So once again, God was motivated by love. Love for humanity, love for the world. So much so that he sent his son into the world that we might live through him, that we might have eternal life. So God was motivated by love. He was motivated to bring healing to a broken world. He sent his son. But then in John chapter 20, verse 21, we see Jesus connecting this idea to his disciples, this idea of God's love for the world to his disciples. This is right after Jesus appears to his disciples after the resurrection. And this is what he said to them. John chapter 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, do any of you remember from math class, the transitive property. Any math majors in here at all? Put this up there for them, guys, okay? Now, I wasn't a math guy. There's a reason I got an English and history degree and taught English for a couple of years before I went into ministry, okay? I can barely add 2 + 2. Thank God for calculators on our iPhones. But I researched this and I rediscovered the transitive property. See if you're awake enough this morning to follow this. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Does that make sense? Pretty simple math, right? Okay, so if we apply the transitive property to these scriptures that we just looked at, it kind of looks like this. God so loved the world, that's A. That he sent Jesus, that's B. As the Father sent me, that's what Jesus said, that's still B. You are being sent into the world, that's C. Do you see how the transitive property applies? So essentially, here's what Jesus is saying. For God so loved the world that you and I are being sent into the world. A equals B equals C. You following me this morning? The property is transferred. The purpose is transferred. The same purpose that God gave to Jesus, Jesus transferred that purpose to his disciples. And he said, this is what your life is going to be about. I'm sending you out to do my work in this world. And guess what? If you're a Christian, you're a follower of Christ. You are a disciple of Christ. And this is the same call that we have on our lives. And so God is sending you and me. This purpose transfers to you and me into this broken world to do his work. And so to be a Christian is to be sent. We got to get that idea in our hearts and our minds that to be a Christian is to be sent. It's not enough to just believe a bunch of doctrines and not just to go to church, but it's actually to be sent out into the world. That is our position. You say, well, what does that mean, Pastor Jeremy? God is sending you to people. God is sending you to family and to friends and to coworkers and to neighbors and to people who are all around you who are in need. Because there are people in need. You just start asking people, can I pray for you? Is there something in your life I can pray for you for? I'll tell you, that question might surprise people, but you'd be surprised by the answers and the response that you get, the tears that you might get from people that you least expected it. Because there's people walking around us in every direction in our sphere of influence who need us, who need our prayers, who need our encouragement, who need the gospel. And so God is sending you to people. He's sending you to situations, to problems, to circumstances, to communities. You're not just here by accident. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, okay, you are on a mission. You are sent. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not a missionary. I'm not a priest. I'm not a pastor like you. Listen, you are a missionary if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You are signed up for the mission to take the gospel into all of the world because Jesus called all of his followers to do that. There is no exemption clause. You cannot get your doctor to write you a letter to be excused. No. We are all signed up. You're signed up for the mission. Come on, turn to somebody and say, you're signed up for the mission. Tell somebody because they're staring at me like, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. If you're a Christian, you are sent. And so the challenge is embracing and remembering who we are and what we're called to do. Because I don't want to see you ending up settling for less. We don't want to end up settling for less. We want to go for greater. We want to embrace all that God has for our lives because he's called us to live greater lives. You know, in the movie Lion King, any Lion King fans in here? Any Disney fans? One of my favorites. My kids were just watching it the other night. In Lion King, right? Simba, the main character there, he is the prince. He's the son of the king, Mufasa. And his father is killed, of course, by his evil uncle, Scar, right? And Scar convinces Simba that it's his fault that his dad died. And so Simba runs away from home and he's, you know, has this identity crisis. Poor Simba had an identity crisis. He probably needed medication. But Simba runs away out into the jungle and he forgets who he is. Until he comes to this crisis moment where Mufasa, his father, the king, the true king, comes to him and his spirit speaks to him in the voice of James Earl Jones and he says, remember who you are. Right? Remember who you are. And Simba remembers who he is. He remembers his calling, his identity as the rightful heir to the kingdom. And he goes back and he overthrows his uncle Scar and he takes back the kingdom and they all live happily ever after. But we need to remember who we are because sometimes we drift. Sometimes in the busyness of life, of going through the motions, of all of the distractions, all of the things that we have pulling on us, we forget who we are. We forget who we're called to be. So I want to talk to you this morning about embracing the call to live a greater life. I want to give you a few points that you can put in your notes today, a few principles to help you embrace the call to live greater. Are you ready? Number one, remember your place in the larger story. You have to remember that your story is a part of the larger story. your story as a follower of Jesus Christ is a part of this much greater story that is unfolding, this redemptive story. And sometimes we forget about that. See, when we open the scriptures, we're invited into a story. It's a story of God and how he's working out his purposes in this world, how he's redeeming humanity and creation from its brokenness. The Bible's not so much a manual as it is a story from cover to cover. It's the story of a God who created this world in perfect condition, to be in perfect peace, but something went terribly wrong. We call it the curse of sin, the fall of humanity, and lots of terrible things entered into the world, like sickness and disease and poverty and war and famine and all the terrible things that we see around us every day. But God was not going to let the world, his creation, stay in that condition. So he decided to do something about it, and he got this redemption project underway, and he created a people for himself. We read about that in the Old Testament, the people of God, the Jewish people, the Israelites, and he gave them the law and the commandments, and he showed them a new way to be human. And he said, I want you to represent me in this world. I want a people who represent me in this world, and I'm going to send you out to bring healing to this world. And they tried their best. They gave it their best shot, but they came up short, until eventually God sent his very own son. Jesus Christ came in flesh and blood, and he showed us how to live, and he preached things that people had never heard before, and he healed, and he saved, and he set people free. And then he ultimately went to the cross, and he poured out his life. He gave everything to free us from the curse of sin. And then he resurrected and he conquered death. See, there's a story unfolding here. There's a story that's unfolding. And Jesus said before he left, he said, I'm turning everything over to my disciples to continue this work. Now, I'm coming back one day. I'm coming back to finish this. And there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And there's going to be complete restoration. But you have to remember where you are in the story, because sometimes as Christians, we lose our place in the story. Your story is part of a much bigger redemptive story that is taking place. And I have good news for you. It has a really good ending. I read the end of the book. It turns out really good. And God's inviting us to be a part of it, a part of his work. See, God is inviting us to participate in his work of fixing up this broken planet. Sadly, somewhere along the way, there are some Christians who really got off track and made the whole story about praying this nice little prayer and evaporating and getting out of here and going to heaven. No. Jesus said you're to pray that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Like, he has some work for us to do here. His kingdom is about the here and the now. So salvation comes with an invitation to join God in his work of renewing all things. When you signed up to follow Jesus, when you made this exchange, you know, and you said, God, I get to give you all of my sins in exchange for your forgiveness, to be adopted into your family, to come to know you. That sounds like a pretty good exchange. Sign me up. But salvation also came with an invitation to join God in his work of renewing all things, because there is a redemptive work underway. There is a restorative work underway. God is redeeming all of creation. He's redeeming humanity. He is fixing this broken place up, and he invites you and me to be a part of that, part of that story. And your life in Christ, the work that God has done in you, how he's done some redemptive work in your life, how he's restored you a little bit, how he's renovated your life. Yeah, that's a preview of what's ultimately to come. You ever come to the movies, you know, you sit in a theater just like this, and before your movie comes on, a trailer comes on for a movie you really want to see. And what do? Like halfway through the trailer, you're nudging the person next to you. Oh my gosh, that's going to be a good one. I want to see that one, right? Yeah, you want to see that one. Guess what? Your life is meant to be a trailer of what's to come. Your life is meant to be the preview of what God is ultimately going to do when he shows up one day in the snap of a finger and he completes this restoration project. That's what your life is about. That's what your life is ultimately about. It's a preview. See, Deborah's going to go over there and serve these impoverished, broken people in Africa and bring healing to them. That's a glimpse. That's a preview of a day when there's going to be no more sickness, no more disease, no more poverty, no more lack. See, yeah, that's a preview. It's a glimpse of what is to come. And so your life, you've got to position yourself within the greater story, because every time you serve, every time you give, every time you love, every time you pray, every time you share the gospel with someone in word and in deed, your life becomes a preview of good things to come, of the end of the story. Are you with me this morning, church? You got to get in the story. You got to embrace a bigger and better story. You're a part of something that's unfolding, and you're called to be right smack in the middle of it. The church of Jesus Christ is what God is up to in this world. He's working through us. And so if you're going to live greater, you got to know where you are in the story. Number two, here's the second thing. You have to aim your life. Somebody say, aim your life. You got to aim your life. Well, what does that mean? Here's what I mean. How do we stay focused on on this mission. But okay, we have to know our place in the story, but how do we stay focused on this mission, this calling that we have to greater lives? You know, how do we balance our life and our career and our relationships and our bills and all of the things that we have to do? Because I think that's the challenge that we run into. How do we balance all that? Well, you have to aim your life. You have to aim your life at the kingdom of God, at his purposes, at his calling, okay? Let me ask this question. Are the things that God has given you, your career, your talents, your resources, okay, your money, your possessions, are those things the end? Are those things a means to an end? This will help you out because some of you might, you know, as you've listened to this series, we've talked about generosity, we've talked about servanthood, we've talked about giving of ourselves. And so I'm sure some of you are thinking, okay, but can't we enjoy our money at all? And can't we take a vacation? Can't we buy a new car? You know, can't we have some things? Like, isn't there some personal joy in this world? Of course there is. God is the author and creator of joy. He came up with all these things that we enjoy. But here's the thing. The problem is we're always tempted. This is always our temptation. We're tempted to make the gifts that God has given us the end instead of the means. See, what is your life ultimately aimed at? That's the question you have to ask yourself. You need to have a really honest conversation. Do you know it's okay to talk to yourself? Just don't answer yourself. Actually, it's okay. You can even answer yourself today. You need to ask yourself this question, okay? Because being greater is ultimately about what your life is aimed at. Is your life aimed at God's purposes in his kingdom, or is your life mostly aimed at self-fulfillment? It's a challenging question, isn't it? That's the question you have to ask yourself to know how your life is aimed, because it really rearranges your priorities and it rearranges the way you handle resources and money and possessions and the things that God has given you, because it's okay to have some of those things, but ultimately you want to be aimed at the kingdom. Jesus said, seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things that you have need of will be added to your life as well, but you have to aim your life at the kingdom. Jesus said, you got to seek that first. That's got to be the end, and everything else in between is just a means to that end. So ask yourself that question. Have a really gut level, honest conversation with yourself. Is my life ultimately aimed at God's purposes, or is it aimed at my self-fulfillment? Because I'm telling you, so many people are chasing self-fulfillment, and they're not so self-fulfilled. People more stressed out, depressed, moping around like never before. Because it's counterintuitive. The more you just chase pure self-fulfillment, the more you end up not being fulfilled, because God wired you with this desire, this need for greater purpose. All right, number three. The third thing is you got to find your God-ordained passion. You got to remember your place in the story. You got to aim your life at God's purposes. Number three, you got to find your God-ordained passion. One of my favorite authors, Mark Batterson, wrote this in his book, Primal, A Quest for the Lost Soul of Christianity. He said, what makes you glad or sad or mad? Somewhere in the mixture of that gladness, sadness, or madness is your God-ordained passion. Love that quote. What is it that gets your attention? What tugs at your heartstrings? What is it that gets you upset? What is it that you're passionate about? What turns you up? Pay attention to those things, because we need to discover our God-ordained passion. You ever have one of those somebody ought to do something about that moments? Like you see something on television that breaks your heart. You hear about some story of injustice. You hear about a need that just tugs at your heart. And you say, somebody ought to do something about that. Well, be careful, because that somebody might be you. God might be calling you to do something about that very thing. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast, an interview with Blake Mikoski, the founder of Tom's Shoes. Any of you guys know Tom's Shoes? You know, Tom's Shoes, these really cool hip shoes, and they've gotten really popular. But one of the reasons Tom's Shoes is so popular is because for every pair of shoes that you purchase, Tom's Shoes donates a pair of shoes to a child in need, to an impoverished child around the world. And this all started back in 2006. Blake was on a vacation to Argentina when he encountered these poor kids all throughout these villages outside of Buenos Aires who didn't have shoes. And he decided to do something about it. And his initial plan was to raise enough money to bring back 10,000 pair of shoes to Argentina. And that's how Tom's Shoes got started. Just a spark. He saw a need. He decided to do something about it. And now it's become this like global enterprise, and they're giving away millions of shoes every year. And now they're doing glasses and coffee and all kinds of stuff. Amazing. Started with something so simple. When I think about this, I think about Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision. Many of you are familiar with World Vision, but it's a Christian organization that is active in over 90 countries, serving over 100 million people meeting people's basic needs like food and clothing and education and health care and providing emergency relief and spiritual care, loving on people in some of the most impoverished nations all around the world. You know how it got started? It got started when Bob Pierce back in 1950 went over to Korea during the Korean War. And he started ministering to orphans there and children there because there were children who were starving to death in the middle of this war. In fact, his life was forever wrecked when he saw a young child literally drop dead of starvation because they couldn't get food to the front lines of the war in just enough time. And he decided to do something about it. He said, I'm never going to let this happen again without me doing something about it. He started raising money, started raising awareness. Eventually, in his journeys back and forth from America to Korea, he met a young girl named White Jade, a little Korean girl who had been disowned by her parents. She had nothing, and he gave her $5. He decided to start giving her $5 a month, and that's where the child sponsorship program started. Many of you, some of you have supported a World Vision Child. Amy and I have supported a World Vision Child for 6 or 7 years now. In fact, our kids ministry gives money to our little guy over in Ethiopia. But see, it started with somebody simply seeing a need. Are you with me, church? Somebody seeing a need. And so you've got to find your passion. What is it that breaks your heart? What is it that God is calling you to do about it? Sometimes, because we can't do everything, we end up doing nothing. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by the enormity of a need that we feel like we can't make a big enough difference, and so we do nothing. Listen, doing something is always better than doing nothing. How many of you know a bunch of us doing a small something can add up to make a really big difference in the world? And so you got to find your passion. You got to tap into your passion. Now listen, I'm always going to have passions that I'm going to lead our church to give toward. We're a giving church. We're going to get out. We're going to donate backpacks to kids in need. And I'd love for you to get behind that. But you know what's even more powerful than that? Find something that you're really passionate about, that God has placed on your heart. And get after that thing and make a difference. And here's the fourth thing. The fourth thing is you got to take the first step. You got to remember your place in the story. You got to aim your life. You got to find your God-ordained passion, and you got to just take the first step, just like Deborah shared today. She had to take the first step. Take the first step. Take the next step that God has in front of you. So you have to overcome inertia. Probably the greatest difference, the most significant difference between people who really accomplish their goals in life, who accomplish great things, and people who don't accomplish their goals, who get to the end of their life and they don't accomplish the things that they really wanted to do. Probably the greatest difference, listen to me, it's something simple. The people in the first category, they just stepped out and started. I listen to a podcast where they interview a different entrepreneur every week. And what amazes me is so many of these people knew nothing about the business they started. And some of these businesses have gone on to be global enterprises. But you know what? They took the first step. They got in and they started learning. And have accomplished some amazing things. See, at some point in time, you got to step out. You got to step out. You got to take the first step. It may be scary, but you got to go for it. I will never forget meeting with my pastor a few years ago when I was an associate pastor. And I'll never forget meeting with my pastor and telling him, Pastor, I think God is calling me to plant a church in the New York City area. It was the scariest conversation I've ever had. But it was a small step. But you know, that small step was the beginning of this church. It started with one conversation. It started with working up enough courage to verbalize something that God had put in my heart to my pastor. And it changed my life. See, if you're going to live your life in a greater way, you got to embrace a greater purpose. But at some point in time, you got to take that next step. I don't know what that next step is for you. Maybe God's put a dream inside of your heart to start a business that can make a difference. Maybe God's put a plan for a nonprofit in your heart. Maybe there is a cause, something that you're passionate about. Maybe you wanna dig wells in Africa. Maybe you wanna help poor kids right here in Westchester. Maybe there's some gift that you have that you wanna use in some greater way. Maybe you wanna go back to school so you can make a difference with your life. I don't know. Maybe it's a dream for your marriage, for your family, for your kids, for what your life could be like, but you gotta step out and take the first step. Today our question is, God, what's the first step that you want me to take? I can give you some simple ideas, because sometimes you got to overcome the inertia. Get on a team at our church and start serving. That'll get you in the flow of a greater life. Yeah, every one of you got connect cards when you came in? Flip it over. There's a bunch of ideas on there. We have some great teams that do some great work that make a difference in people's lives every week. Guess what? If your life has ever been touched by this church, that's because our dream team set the stage for that to happen every week. Somebody served. Somebody volunteered. Sign up for a team. Sponsor a backpack today when we receive the offering. Can you imagine some kid who doesn't even know you whose parents are stressed out and can't even provide school supplies for their kids is going to get a backpack. And guess what? The God of all creation who sees everything, he sees it. And he's smiling over you because that kid's going to have that backpack full of school supplies because you provided it. Do something simple. Get out of the boat. Take a step. Support Deborah. Find Deborah after the service today. Follow her blog. Pray for her. Send her some money. Do whatever you can to get behind it. So next time we celebrate when she comes back, you can say, I was a part of that. See how exciting this becomes? When you embrace a greater purpose for your life. See, so many people think the Christian life is a drudge life. It's a boring life. It's a life I have to give up everything. No, no, you get everything. You get everything. And God is calling us to live bigger and greater lives. Followers of Jesus Christ, we're called to something greater, something so much greater than just ourselves. God is sending you and me out there into a world filled with need to pour ourselves out. And I'm telling you guys, it's the only thing that's going to last. It's the only thing worth doing. At the end of your life, when you draw your last breath, if you do that with your life, you can be fulfilled. You can be satisfied to know that you gave your life to a greater cause, to something greater than yourself. I think about the disciples, these ragtag group of guys, fishermen and just crazy bunch of guys. They follow Jesus. They have this whirlwind 3-year ministry following Jesus. And then Jesus tells them, I'm going to leave and go back to heaven, but I'm leaving everything to you. I'm giving you my mission, my legacy, my work in this world. Can you imagine Jesus just turned everything over to these bunch of dudes? And they get it done. With his help, they do it. They turn the world upside down. No apostles, no church. You and I wouldn't be sitting here today. They do it. So amazing. And listen to me. That's the same story that you and I are invited to be a part of. As followers of Jesus, he's calling us to greater purpose, to get out and make a difference in this world. Because if you're going to have a greater life, you got to embrace a greater calling, a greater cause, a greater purpose. And so let me ask you this morning, church, before I pray for you, what would that look like in your life? What would that look like in your life to embrace the call to greater? What would that look like in our church if a group of people, this group of people got together and we just got passionate about what God wants to do in the New York City metro area, what God wants to do in Westchester, in Southern Connecticut, and all around the world as we begin to start giving and reaching out and touching our community. And we've already started. We've done some cool things, but I'm telling you, church, we're just getting started. God's got a whole lot more work for us to do. Come on, how many of you know God wants to use this church to make a difference in this community, to make a difference in this region? Come on, we're going to reach out and touch. We're going to do some things. We're going to send some more people out on some missions trips. Okay, God's got some more work for us to do. There's a few people in need around this area. Hello. It's not by accident that we live in the most populated metro area in the United States of America. God is sending you. He's sending me. He's sending us as a church. And so our prayer today is, say, God, give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. God, enlarge our hearts. God, we don't want to settle for less. God, don't give us smaller vision, but God, lift up our eyes and help us to see the greater things that you are calling us to do individually and collectively as a church. Come on, if you're with me, stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. I'm going to pray for you this morning. And we don't want to just leave this place all pumped up, because I can tell you what, you can leave this place all pumped up and Monday morning the wind can be out of your sails fast, okay? I want to remind you, come on, tell the truth. I want to remind you, it starts with taking a simple step. And I think our prayer today is, God, show us what's the next step that you have for my life to embrace this greater life. I want to pray for you this morning. Jesus, we thank you so much that you include us, that you call us, that you invite us to be a part of your work, your mission, your legacy of bringing healing and love to a broken world. God, when we think about it, we're really humbled. We're overwhelmed that you would entrust your work to people like us. And God, today, we're saying, sign us up for the mission. Come on, somebody just needs to make that personal this morning. Jesus, sign me up for the mission. Use my life. God, I want my life to be about something bigger than just myself. Some of you need to verbalize that prayer. Jesus, use my life. Make my life about something bigger than just my personal fulfillment. But I want to do something greater, God. Holy Spirit, I'm praying for spirit-inspired ideas all around this room this morning. for dreams to be rekindled, for ideas, for passions, for longings, for the things that make us mad and glad and sad, the things that bring us tears of joy and pain. God, I'm praying that today we get in touch with those things. You begin speaking to our hearts. And God, some of us, we're scared. We don't even know where to start. But God, I'm praying that you give us courage to just take that next step, God. To overcome the inertia of doing nothing and saying, God, I want to do something. I'm going to get started somewhere, making a difference in my corner of the world. And God, I thank you that you haven't sent us out by ourselves under our own power because we would fail. But God, you've sent us out with your Spirit. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit would be upon each person in this place to do everything you've called them to do and to be everything you've called them to be. We receive it into our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.